2021 is going to be a year of decision for America and the world. Political demands for progressive reform are at an all-time high. The social need for progressive reform is also at an all-time high for some very, very, very grim reasons, specifically because America today is in the middle of its worst internal social disaster in its history. Yes, it is that bad. It's a lot worse than the Depression. At least in the Depression, children could go to school. At least in the Depression, people could run around without masks. At least in the Depression, 170,000 Americans had not been killed. And the death toll is still rising. The virus has not been defeated. The Grim Reaper is still very much around. Also, it probably isn't being documented, but there has been and will be a huge cost, a huge death toll, and a huge social cost to the health problems created by the economic collapse, which are compounded by people losing their health insurance. Unfortunately, the economic resources to deal with this crisis are at an all-time low. Many progressives have not put two and two, so to speak, together. Their criticisms of the neoliberal world order were correct, but they don't want to draw the logical conclusions from those criticisms. Specifically, that the American economy today is very, very, very sick. Progressive politicians like to talk about America being the richest country in the world. Well, at one point, it was the richest country in the world, say, from 1916 to 1980, America was the richest country in the world. It was the industrial heart of the world. It was the world's largest holder of foreign exchange reserves, so on and so on and so forth, all right? That's not the case today. Starting in 1980, America, well, not really America, the financial and economic elites of America have been willing to sell out the American people so they could have more money by shipping U.S. jobs overseas. Politicians like Bill Clinton assured us this was all a benevolent process. It was a mysterious process called globalization that would create a utopia. It didn't create heaven, it created a living hell. And in 2016, the full scope of that living hell became apparent when voters decided they really didn't want any more globalization, they didn't really want any more Wall Street, and they voted for Donald Trump. Trump has pursued policies that are, ironically, in many ways, even more regressive than the previous ones, but many voters see him, because of his rhetoric, as a kind of populist. And this is a problem for the Democratic Party. It's a problem for the Democratic Party that they have been such enthusiastic cheering squads for not all of the Democratic Party, but for the plutocratic elite and their disastrous policies. Now let's get back to 2021 and what needs to get done. America is the only country in the modern world that does not have national health insurance. National health insurance isn't charity any more than having a fire department is charity. You don't want sickness in your society. You really don't. It's not good for you. Unfortunately, the plutocratic elites never could understand that. These people are not just vicious, not all of them, but a good part of them. They're incredibly stupid and incompetent. We also don't have a national sick leave bill like everybody else, because you don't want sick people coming to work and spreading their disease all over the place. The promise by Trump that he would cover the cost of COVID care is baloney, and it isn't being fulfilled. And when you think about it, it's a phony claim anyway. Suppose you're a working person facing eviction, facing other problems. You're going to go to the hospital and risk, if you are not diagnosed as COVID, getting a $4,000 emergency room bill. Well, obviously you aren't, or at least you'll be very reluctant to go. So, at a minimum, and so far, the Democrats, to their everlasting shame, have ignored the bill of Senator Sanders and Congresswoman Jayapal to provide emergency health care for everybody. That's absolutely necessary. So that needs to get done immediately, immediately, now. A question emerges in 2021. Should progressives demand that Biden do that strictly through Medicare for All? We don't have the answer to that question. We believe that Medicare for All is necessary, but it's important to give Biden some room to operate. And perhaps Biden can figure out a way where healthcare for all for at least 1 year can be put through without Medicare for All. We're not going to debate the details of that. What we are going to debate and what we are going to insist on is that healthcare for all at a reasonable price, no $7,000 Obamacare deductibles, no lunatic nonsense of open enrollment, you can't buy health insurance other than certain number of times a year and all, and other lunatic nonsense like that has to go, and has to go immediately. We need health care for everybody that is affordable for everybody, and affordable for a good part of the population in light of the economic collapse means free. Now, America has been living in a dream world for a long time. We needed a Green New Deal for years. We didn't get it. The climate is collapsing around the world, and there's a whole series of other environmental problems that haven't been dealt with. Since 1980, the U.S. government has had three main priorities. The first is welfare for the rich, consumption-oriented tax cuts for the rich. The same people who told us that we couldn't afford this social program, couldn't afford that social program because of the capital D deficit, and concern about deficits is legitimate. But these same people voted over and over and over again for trillions of dollars in money-losing tax cuts for the super rich. This is crazy. It is also evil, period. It is. Now, the second big priority is global imperialism. At least under Reagan, Reagan did keep the country out of major wars, and he did build up the military, and that did bring the Russians to the negotiating table, and it did end the Cold War. So you could say that Reagan's big military expansion made sense. You could. And we're not going to dispute that. However, since 2001, America has been involved in a campaign of runaway global imperialism. There's just no way to say it. And that campaign of imperialism was expanded rather than reduced under Obama. You had people like Susan Rice, people like Samantha Power, who were hogwild to get the country into one war after another, and they did so. America intervened in Libya and produced chaos and disaster, intervened in Syria and produced chaos and disaster, teamed up with Saudi Arabia, we know they're a democracy, right, and created the greatest humanitarian disaster of the new century in Yemen. In fact, in Libya, in Syria, and Yemen, there's a pattern of America working with Saudi Arabia. There is. Sorry, folks, that's not democracy. Meanwhile, America backed extreme right-wing forces in the Ukraine to overthrow the government there, and then slapped a whole series of sanctions on Russia when the people of Crimea decided they didn't want any part of this new government, and so on and so forth. So there's been a huge escalation in terms of imperial competition vis-a-vis Russia. Under Trump, there's been a huge escalation in imperial competition vis-a-vis China. Now, America's grievances against China are to a certain extent legitimate, though that will relate. We need to discuss that in the context of the next big priority of the last 3 years, of, excuse me, the last series of years since 1980, which is the sellout of the US worker to foreign manufacturers. But the way to deal with China is to deal with China in a calm, orderly manner, and also include China's horrible environmental practices, such as the overfishing and plastic in the ocean, and all sorts of other nightmarish problems, such as that. So you now have America adopting extremely hostile tactics towards the two other major powers in the world. At the same time, under Obama, the largest nuclear arms race in history was launched. Under Trump, things have gotten a lot worse, where Trump has repeatedly pulled out of nuclear arms control treaties and is in danger of pulling out of the most important one, the START Treaty, in 2021. But Obama was certainly no great shakes there either, because the attack on Libya followed Libya's decision to give up its nuclear weapons. Obviously, in future, countries are going to be rather reluctant to do so in light of what Obama and Samantha Power and Susan Rice did there. So that's an issue. That's an issue right there. Now, getting so there has to be a de-escalation in military confrontation. Simply talking about cutting the Pentagon budget is meaningless if there's not a de-escalation of tensions with Russia and China. And all the Hillary Clinton lost the 2016 elections because the American people were fed up with plutocratic globalization. She did not lose the election because of Putin and his activities. It's about time people in the Democratic Party came to terms with that. And it doesn't make sense to risk blowing up the entire world in a huge escalation of nuclear tensions with Russia just to put a pretty face on Hillary Clinton, or to dispute who should or should not control Crimea. There's absolutely no doubt whatsoever that the people of Crimea want no part of the government America installed in Kiev. So, do we want to blow up the world in a dispute over that? No, we don't. Now, moving right along here, we have to deal with the fact that the US economy has been hollowed out by all these trade deals. So many progressive economists think that it's 1933. It is not. The US economy was the richest economy in the world in 1933. A good part of the bad debt had already been flushed out by a horrible process of nationwide bankruptcies and bank collapses. But in 1933, the US economy was very healthy. And the US economy, we were not burdened by 900 military bases and lunatic delusions about global imperialism and so on and so forth. So, in 1933, the US economy was very healthy. Today, the US economy is very sick because the third great priority of the leaders of this country since 1980 has been to betray the US workers, and so they could make more money, ship US jobs overseas, and destroy US industries, so that today we have a $400 billion trade deficit with China, so that today America has a net minus 10 trillion of that's where America's international position is. Now, as a result of the virus, the whole economic crisis has gotten a lot worse. This is where many progressives seem to be, and maybe the whole country seem to be in a state of denial. The scale of the disaster economically is just mind-boggling. Trillions upon trillions upon trillions have been taken out of the economy that could have gone for a Green New Deal to pay for emergency relief for the economy. Now, that's not over. That's not over at all. And there may be trillions and trillions of dollars more. However, we have not seen hard-headed discussions in the progressive movement about that fact, because this is going to make it extremely difficult to fund progressive priorities. Doesn't mean we shouldn't try to do that. We should fund the Green New Deal, so on and so forth. We have to fund the Green New Deal. But we see very little discussion in the progressive community about how difficult that's going to be. One leading progressive economist said that the relief packages couldn't be large enough. Now, let's just think of how stupid that comment is. You mean it's infinite? Really? This is dangerous idiocy. So they're going to have to be tough choices made. And we don't see, when you look at the big picture, we see a long time of austerity to do what's needed to be done to get this country back on track. Liberals hate the term austerity. Well, where's the money coming from? There's a good question right there. The U.S. economy today is sort of an upside-down debt bubble. The corporations have spent vast amounts of money, hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars, possibly trillions of dollars, on stock buybacks and other gimmicks, which used to be illegal, by the way, rather than investing in the future. So it's going to be a long road back for the U.S. economy. And our point is that in 2021, progressives need to be very cold-blooded about they're not going to get a large part of what they want. The question is, where do they draw that line? It's going to be a very painful line, and President Biden needs to come in educating the American people about the scale of the problem. We don't see the Democratic Party talking about the scale of the problem right now. Maybe that's politically impossible, but that's an issue, and that's the background of why some very tough choices need to be made.